Having sung that song, that Psalter number, let's read the psalm that it's based on. My pericope of Scripture is Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall not fall away. Our text is verse 1 and then verse 11. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as you see in the superscription of this psalm, this is a psalm of David. And it's very plain from the psalm that David was facing great danger from his enemies. It could be shortly after he was anointed and after he had fought many battles for Saul, when Saul was seeking his life. Saul came with his whole army looking for David to kill him. Or it could have been when David ran over to the Philistines carrying the sword of Goliath with him. Talk about dumb. Or it could have been later on when his son Absalom wanted the throne. And Absalom, along with some of David's old trusted friends, are seeking his life. In the darkness of that danger, David is able to sing a song in the night. Ah, do you hear the melody? Jehovah is my light and my salvation. I picked this psalm, Emma and Sean, because following Jesus Christ does not go like the fairy tales and they all lived happily ever after. But when we follow Christ, we can expect a cross like Christ had. We can expect enemies who desire our downfall. But I want you to go into your life living your confession confident. I will not fear. I will not be afraid. Why? But Jehovah is my strength and my salvation. So I've entitled the sermon, A Bold and Beautiful Confession. Notice with me, in the first place, the terrible darkness. Notice, second of all, our light. And then thirdly, our confidence. Terrible darkness, our light, our confidence. Darkness is implied in the text. Although you don't find that word darkness there. But when David confesses that Jehovah is his light, he's suggesting there is that light in the midst of the darkness that surrounds him. Like the light of the moon at night or the light of the stars. Darkness. Darkness is a symbol in the Bible. A figure of distress. A figure of danger. It is a figure of sin. And while darkness is that kind of a figure, light, on the other hand, is a figure of deliverance. It's a figure of relief. It's a figure of hope and salvation. Listen a moment. Job 30, verse 26. When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. And when I waited for light, there was darkness. Darkness in Job's life. But who are we? We read in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you who He called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Relief. Salvation. Hope. What is this darkness that David was facing? The Lord had made him king. And yet he has to wait, doesn't he? Because King Saul is still on the throne, and while his own men are tempting David there in the cave twice over to take Saul's life, he will not. Because he was the Lord's anointed. What a dark time. When he flees with just a remnant, all by himself there, forsaken. What darkness when he was foolish enough to go to the Philistine camp with a sword of Goliath in his hand, and the poor man has to act like he's nuts, crazy, by drooling in order to somehow escape. The Philistines finally say, who needs another fool around? Or that terrible time when David is fleeing for his life. And thankfully, because of the advice of Ahithophel and Hushai over against Ahithophel, Absalom didn't go after his father immediately when he was weak, but David was able to get his army around him. But David's confidence at those times was not in his army, and it was not in his own strength, was it? And if we look at those events in David's life, we see there that those enemies are primarily spiritual in nature. They are seeking to cut off David and therefore cut off the line of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see Satan, the wicked one, the liar from the beginning, the accuser of the brother, going after the line in which Christ is going to be born to try to cut off the Christ. They are called the wicked. They hate and they oppose David because he is the anointed of the Lord. And here we see that the church on earth is often dominated by a carnal and a reprobate element. Who was it was seeking David's life? It was the king of Israel, the one for whom David had fought all kinds of battles and was victorious. And who is it that's seeking David's life? It's his own son, Absalom. And we will find often that the hardest enemy that we have to face are those within what is called the church today. The nominal church with its false doctrine, or those whom we counted brothers and sisters, and they create schism in the church. The intent of these enemies that we read about in the Psalm is to kill David, to destroy God's covenant with His people. Because as we heard this morning, central in that covenant is the line of David. It is Christ Jesus. Enemies. Oh, listen a minute to this Psalm. Verse 2. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. Verse 3, though a host should encamp against me. Verse 11 and 12, teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in a straight path. Why? Because my enemies. Verse 12, deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Yes, the enemies here are physical, but they are also spiritual. We see behind these none less than Satan himself, trying to destroy God's covenant with His people, leading the people away with another leader, as he later on does with the 10 tribes. Darkness. And why is this such a dark time in David's life? Well, these enemies seek to destroy him. They seek to destroy, really, the rule of God with His people. But it is also a very dark time for David, especially when it comes to there when he's with the Philistines and later on with Absalom, his own foolishness. Why was he in that predicament? Because he chose to run away and he leaned not upon the Lord, but he leaned upon his own understanding. And there he flees to those very same enemies that he had cut down. Foolish man. And when he sees his son Absalom against him, he knows the word of God that came to him. Because of his terrible sins, that Nathan has to point out, you are the man who stole another man's little sheep. And because of that, trouble is always going to be in your own family. Darkness. And isn't that the darkness that we face? It's not only the sins around us. It's not only the temptation of the devil. But it is that sinful flesh that is within us. Isn't it that, parents, what makes us so heartbroken when we see sins in our children's life, we see often ourselves as we were. We must face these same kind of enemies, spiritual enemies, when we confess Christ Jesus. The devil goes about like a roaring lion, not over those whom he already rules, but as he goes about as a roaring lion about the little lambs and the sheep of God's flock. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Emma and Sean, this world that we live in is not a friend to grace. And may I say to all the young people, but also maybe to some older folks, who are your best friends? Who do you hang around with? Who is going to influence you in your lives? Do you choose those who hate the Lord, despise the church? Or your bosom buddies, are they, like you, those who confess Christ Jesus and desire with their life to honor Him? Oh, what a difference. What a difference, young people whom you date. What are you going to do on your date? Is your date a person who despises God's rule about chastity? Who will tempt you, while everyone else is doing it, why not us too? Who are your friends? The world is not a friend to grace. But that world is either going to come to you to woo you to do their kind of things, pleasurable things according to the flesh. And if they cannot woo you to their side, they'll attack you. Attack you with harsh words. The false church will come with false teaching. Oh, they might use the same words that we use, but they use them in different contexts or in different ways. Look at the false church today, or the nominal church. Look at the question that is breaking up denominations today, whether it be the Reformed Church, the Christian Reformed Church, the Methodist Church. It's the whole gender question. It is homosexuality and lesbianism that they should be in the church. There's nothing wrong with it. And it's easy for us to say, well, is that a salvation matter? And shouldn't the church be broader minded and allow others? What did the Apostle Paul come to the church in Corinth and say? I, in my absence, have already expelled him, and you also must do it. Yes, the world out there, the false church out there, and even Satan is a roaring lion. What enemies they are. But those enemies would not have near as much a hold on us if it were not for our sinful flesh. The sinful part of Aud Spreetsma that wants to look at this or wants to say this when he's angry or do that. What a dark, dark picture. Sin. And those enemies, Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh seem so strong. Just as the host of Saul seems strong, just as the Philistines seem strong, and just as Absalom and his army seemed strong. It looked like at those times that David's life was almost over. What hope was there? And it is in that terrible darkness that David cries out. You might call this soul talk. He says to himself, "The Lord is my strength and my salvation. The Lord is my light. Whom will I fear? Of whom will I be afraid?" And if you have your Bible still open, you'll notice there that the word "Lord" is all in capital letters. In other words, this is not really the best translation. better would be the very name of our covenant God, Jehovah, is my light and my salvation. Jehovah is my strength and my song. And that name Jehovah means that He is the one who always existed. Doesn't depend upon anyone else. It means that He is the eternal one, the one who is always faithful, who changes not. It is His covenant name. David has confidence because his eye is upon the Lord Jehovah, his God. And in that covenant relationship, he knows that God knows him and cares for him as a friend, not an enemy. Oh, may the enemies be many around him, but the Lord is for him. How wonderful to know that God lives and dwells with His people in blessing them. We saw that this morning, didn't we? The Israelites there in the wilderness, they had that cloud during the day and that pillar of fire at night. They had the tabernacle, they had the temple. And you and I have Christ Jesus who came down into our midst and became one of us. Oh, to know that God lives and He dwells with us. To know that not only intellectually, but to know it experientially. It is that covenant relationship that the enemy, the powers of darkness, seek to destroy as they attack God's people. Will you really keep on trusting in your God? Are you really going to say no on your date? Or are you going to say no to your buddies when they say, let's have a drinking party? Strong, not in yourself. But because that bold confession by the grace of God is put on your lips. The Lord, Jehovah, is my light and my salvation. There's parallelism here in this first verse. The parallelism between light and salvation. Strength. He's comparing all of this for David. David knows that the Lord is for him, and so no matter what takes place in his life, it will be for his good and for his salvation. His light then is not in his own strength or his own ingenuity, and his strength is not in his army that follows him. There was just a ragtag group that followed in the wilderness when he fled from Saul and all others abandoned him. They said they didn't even know him. Jehovah is David's light because he is the very strength of his life. He doesn't have to depend upon himself or the arm of flesh, but he depends upon his God. It was God, wasn't it? Boys and girls, you remember that story. It was God that enabled David to go up against the giant Goliath. All the other men of Israel trembled in their shoes when they heard Goliath roaring. And young David comes there from the sheepfold. He says, what in the world are you so scared for? God is for us. His brothers are taken aback at him. Saul is willing to give David all of his own armor. Of course, it was way too heavy for that young lad. No, with just a little slingshot and 5 stones in his hand, he goes forth. Not in his own strength, but he goes in the confidence that Jehovah is for his people and his enemies cannot do anything to them outside of God's will. And so when the question is asked, who killed Goliath? David killed Goliath by the grace of God and by the strength that God gave him to stand there and to fight. God kept David as his anointed one so that David could continue to care over God's people, to rule over God's people with God's sovereign love. And God kept David in those instances because from David was going to come Solomon, and from Solomon down the line would come Jesus Christ. Jehovah is my light and my salvation, my strength. And Enema and Sean, along with all of God's true children here, we are able to say, Jehovah is our light. He is our light in Jesus Christ, who is God's anointed one. We read in John 1 verse 5 regarding Jesus Christ, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Yes, beloved, I want you and me to see Jesus Christ here in this psalm, because David serves as a type, he serves as a picture of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus was the Lord's anointed. And Jesus is the one who is the defender and the savior of his church. And in order to do that, Jesus was subjected to terrible darkness all of his life, and especially there on the cross. He comes into this world, and there the devil tries to take away his life with Herod, killing all the babies in Bethlehem. He comes to his own, and his own receive him not, when he opens up the scriptures and reads Isaiah 61 in Nazareth. He begins his ministry how? The boys and girls in catechism just learned about the temptations that Jesus endured. As Jesus began his earthly ministry, the very first thing he had to do was battle the Satan. When it came to the first Adam, he succumbed to Satan, didn't he? He believed Satan's lies. The fruit there on that tree looked irresistible to him, and he wanted to be equal with God. But now listen to the last Adam, Christ Jesus. When Satan came as a friend, dressed as a friend, looking after the welfare of Jesus and saying, "My Jesus, 40 days you have fasted, you faint, you're weak, just say the word, and these stones will turn into bread." And the Lord Jesus, the light in the midst of that darkness, said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth." Over and over against the darkness of Satan, wooing him, "Don't go the way of suffering." Jesus says, "For this cause I've come." He battled him. Darkness. Oh, that darkness grows, doesn't it? When the chief priests, the Sadducees and the scribes, they plot against Jesus, can they ensnare him in some of their words? Can they catch him doing something wrong? We're going to hear Tuesday night in our Bible study about, again, how the devil, or how the Satan and the Pharisees try to tempt Jesus when he's at a feast. And the darkness grows even darker. As Jesus stands there in the Garden of Gethsemane all alone, his disciples cannot enter into his sorrow. And Jesus cries out, "Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. And angels came to him afterwards to strengthen him. It's a beautiful thing. We read after Jesus' temptations in the wilderness as he fought Satan. Whether it be in the wilderness, whether it was on the pinnacle of the temple, or whether it was on a high mountain looking at all the kingdoms around, afterwards angels came and ministered to him. And we read there in the Garden of Gethsemane after his prayer, his disciples sleeping, an angel came to strengthen him. And then came the darkness. The terrible 3 hours of darkness on the cross. When his Father in heaven, the Father in heaven who said personally about Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," that Father turned his face against his Son in wrath because he stood there with our sins on his shoulders. But in all of the darkness, Jesus is the light of the world, isn't he? Jesus, the Son of God in our flesh, who died, gave his body willingly to death, and rose again to life in order to impart that life to you and me. Victorious over all of his enemies, over sin, over Satan, and over death. And that Christ is our salvation. He is our light. He is our strength. And what do we read? Even as the angels strengthened the Lord of the covenant, Christ Jesus, we read in Psalm 30, verse 7, that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. What a beautiful text that is. What temptations are you wrestling with? What trials are you going through? What sickness has you down on a sick bed, continuing to raise its head? What enemies are you facing? And I hope you'd have enemies, because we live here in this world. And to be a friend of God means of necessity that the world is an enemy of us. Christ is our light. Christ is our salvation. Christ is our strength in the midst of those temptations of the flesh or the temptations of the pleasures of the world or the despair or the doubt that at times creeps up in our lives. Terrible darkness. This world is filled with darkness. But as God created the sun to shine in the daytime and the moon and the stars at night, so we read that he has given Jesus Christ as a sun in Malachi with healing in his wings. Christ is our light, our salvation, and our strength. That brings me to our third point, our confidence. What does David say? Whom will I fear? Of whom will I be afraid? Those are rhetorical questions. Those are questions that David is putting to himself. I am sure that according to his flesh, he was afraid when King Saul was hunting him. He hid in caves. He ran to the wilderness. He was afraid, and he even went into the camp of the Philistines. And yes, he was discouraged, terribly discouraged and afraid when Absalom was coming against him. But He speaks to himself, and that is what you and I must do too in the face of temptations. All those temptations can be strong. And that sick bed might be a long time. Whom will I fear? Of whom will I be afraid? That confidence, beloved, that confidence of David was solely in his God, nothing else. And for you and me, it's only in our God if we look to ourself and our own ingenuity and our own strength. We can only expect defeat, destruction. God is our light. Jesus Christ is our light and our salvation, and He's our strength. Our eyes need to be on the Lord Jesus Christ day and night. Just as the eyes of Peter should have remained on Jesus Christ, not only when he was in the boat, not only as he stepped out in the water, but when those waves all of a sudden were getting awful high, he took his eyes off Jesus and he started sinking. And when you and I take our eyes upon off from Jesus Christ, our Savior, we will sink in despair, in doubt, in fear, and in temptation and sin. Don't say, I'm so strong I can stand. No. Stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand in His Word. Has the boys and girls in catechism learned how did Jesus rebuke Satan? Jesus didn't say, well, somewhere in the scriptures, I think I read a passage, I don't know what it is about, but I maybe can't do this. No. With each one of the temptations, Jesus says, it is written. And beloved, that is how you and I are going to be able to be strong in the face of temptation. The Holy Spirit and the Word are given to us by Christ Jesus to cause us to be able to conquer and to be victors. And even when some of us will be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, what does David say there in Psalm 23? I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jehovah is my light and my salvation and my strength. And now David ends the psalm then by saying, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. What's he praying? He is praying that the confession on his lip, Jehovah is my light and my salvation, I will not be afraid, I will not fear, will be a confession in his life, that the Lord will lead him on a plain path, that he won't fall into the valleys of sin, the ditches on the side of the road. He says, teach me, O Lord. Teach me. We are called to live our confession. A bold, beautiful confession, Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, we are like the moon, we are like the stars that take the reflection of the sun and show that light at night. Christ Jesus is the light of the world, and we are those then in whom Christ dwells, and we reflect Christ Jesus. Let your light so shine. John 12, verse 35, Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Is the light of God's Word on your path? Are you allowing Christ Jesus by His Spirit and His Word to lead you in a life of service and godliness? Ephesians 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Watch and be sober. Jehovah is the light, my salvation, my strength. And so we are fed with His Word on this Lord's Day, so that as children of the light, we may walk out on Monday through Saturday, living as God's children. The light, Christ Jesus, reflected in us. That God is proud to say of us, as He did of His servant Job, have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen these servants? In the darkness of this world, here's these stars shining as light. To God be the glory. Amen. We thank Thee, Father, for this bold, beautiful confession of Thy servant David. And in David we see none other than Thine anointed Christ Jesus, who was the light of the world. But we too have been anointed. We are Thine anointed as believers. And so we pray that we too may reflect Him who is the light, made light in the Lord. Help us then, Father, to walk as children of the light. Bless this confession. Make it ours. Every day of our life, and especially in the midst of trouble, distress, temptation, and sin. Amen.